From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Doing the Impossible Through Faith, demonstrating how God uses imperfect men to accomplish His purposes. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Nothing to Alarm Us. The text is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. We cannot understand all the prophecies, but yet we regard them with pleasure and not with dismay. There can be nothing in the Father's decree which should justly alarm His child. Though the abomination of desolation be set up, yet the true believer shall not be defiled. Rather shall he be purified and made white and tried. Though the earth be burned up, no smell of fire shall come upon the chosen. Amid the crash of matter and the wreck of worlds, the Lord Jehovah will preserve His own. Calmly resolute in duty, brave in conflict, patient in suffering, let us go our way, keeping to our road, and neither swerving from it nor loitering in it. The end will come. Let us go our way till it does. Rest will be ours. All other things swing to and fro, but our foundation standeth sure. God rests in His love, and therefore we rest in it. Our peace is and ever shall be like a river. A lot in the heavenly Canaan is ours, and we shall stand in it, come what may. The God of Daniel will give a worthy portion to all who dare to be decided for truth and holiness, as Daniel was. No den of lions shall deprive us of our sure inheritance.
My love.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As Dr. Cairns commences this message called Doing the Impossible Through Faith, he takes his text from verses 32 through 35 of Hebrews 11, where we find a list of various Old Testament saints who achieved remarkable victories over Israel's enemies by faith. The inspired writer refers to God's use of imperfect people to accomplish His purpose, men such as Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. These heroes of faith faced nearly insurmountable opposition. Yet through faith in the God of heaven and earth, they saw glorious triumphs. In applying this passage to God's people in this day, Dr. Cairns calls Christians to faith in the God who has not changed, who still empowers His servants to do exploits for Him. Now with the opening portion of this message, Doing the Impossible Through Faith, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 once again. We're reading the final section of the chapter from verse 32 to verse 40. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse number 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this passage from His own precious word for His name's sake. In one of His rousing speeches to the British people when He became their Prime Minister in the dark days of 1940, Sir Winston Churchill encouraged the nation as he surveyed the war situation with the German armies rolling over Europe, France in disarray, Belgium in disarray, Britain under great threat, and Hitler just about to be crowned king of the Western world. Churchill said, "This is not the beginning of the end. It is merely the end of the beginning." I thought of those words as I came to the last section here of Hebrews chapter 11 for a very different reason than Mr. Churchill had in mind. They remind me of a very real dilemma for a preacher having gone through Hebrews 11 and coming now to verse 32. You see, this verse may be seen, as you would think it to be, reading the chapter, as the beginning of the end. But then you read the multiplied details that are in these verses. When you get to verse 32, you have the awful feeling that this may be but the end of the beginning. And that is certainly my dilemma at this time. On the face of it, the passage is very simple. But when you get beyond the face of it, you realize it's not just as simple as it seems. For one thing, every single statement here refers back to something in the Old Testament, sometimes to quite a few things in the Old Testament. So that behind every clause in this long passage, you have multiplied Old Testament references. And if we're to stop off and follow them fully, then the long series in Hebrews 11 thus far would really only be reaching the end of the introduction. We would have a long, long way to go. Then again, when you read these passages or these verses, you discover that some of the expressions lead us into some great depths of Bible interpretation. Maybe it's a good thing that Ron Cook's going to come and help us out in that. But undoubtedly here you get into some of the deep things of understanding what the Bible is about. And indeed, if we take the time off to do it, I'm not quite sure, this is a key passage in the entire controversy with what is known as dispensationalism. Because you will find that that interpretation of Scripture has to run contrary to not only the entire tenor of these verses, but to the explicit statement of the last couple of verses of the chapter. Now, all I can say is that you can see the dilemma. I have spent some time going verse by verse down through Hebrews 11. If I take time to deal with every character that's mentioned here, to go into every reference that is overtly or covertly made, to follow up every great depth of interpretation and follow it through the Scripture and apply it, then Hebrews 11 could become a mighty prolonged study. It is my intention. Now, I'm not saying that it's a promise, because I live from week to week when I come to preach. Sometimes, indeed, I live from moment to moment. And as I was saying to Dr. Barrett this morning, it's a sort of a difficult position to be in when I come to a line in the Scripture, and I may have no intention of giving it any more than a line or two in the sermon. Yet if the Lord so directs, that may actually become the sermon. So I'm not making any promises, but it is my intention to make verse 32 the beginning of the end, not the end of the beginning. I think that if you look at this passage, that the structure is clear enough. The passage, I think, is one of the most beautiful in all the Bible. You couldn't read these words without being moved by them. Here the inspired apostle weds the skill of an orator with the passion of a prophet as he encourages the people of God to stand firm in the face of all the opposition of hell. These Jewish Christians were under severe attack from the devil. Many of them were very deeply discouraged. Some of them appeared to be in danger of renouncing their faith and falling away in this crisis. And the whole aim of the book of Hebrews, but particularly of Hebrews chapter 11, is to strengthen them and encourage them by pointing them constantly to Christ, and then by showing them in this chapter that faith in our God looks beyond the immediate, and it fastens on His Word, whether or not relief from any given situation materializes at once. Now, the division of the passage, I think, will be obvious when you look at it again. From verse 32, what shall I more say? And he goes on to speak of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Then there's a sudden change. What you have in those opening statements is faith in action, in deeds, doing great things. I had those verses, achieving the impossible through faith. But then notice the sudden change. Others who didn't see the dead raised, who didn't go on to the field of battle and do great things, others who did not escape the edge of the sword, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. He goes on to say they were tried with cruel mockings and scourging, bonds and imprisonment. They were literally stoned and sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, and wandering about, etc. the others were not, as the world would see it at least, doing the impossible through faith. I've had those verses down to 38 as bearing the unbearable through faith, suffering the insufferable through faith. Then, of course, we come to verse 39 and 40. All these, having received or obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Or, as the words may be just as validly translated, that they, but not without us, should be made perfect. And those verses 39 and 40 will speak of the family of God complete through faith. Now that's the outline of the verses. Achieving the impossible through faith. Bearing the unbearable through faith. And then brought right to the great climax of everything. As faith sees the last chapter, and it speaks of the family of God complete through faith. Now, it's not my intention to preach on every single person here. The Lord may direct otherwise as we go along, but it's not now my intention. What I want us to do is, for the third time, to read this passage. Only this time, I want us to make the relevant Old Testament references and observations upon which the passage is built. And then we'll make some closing observations. Now, he says, what shall I more say? I have been giving you, says the apostle, a long list of the examples of the exploits of faith. We have started with Abel. And then we have gone right down through the list of great men of God, and indeed women of God, who have done great things for God. We've gone as far as Rahab the harlot. And then he stops and he says, but what shall I more say? Why go on adding infinitely to the list of the heroes of faith who have seen great things done through faith in our God and in our Savior? He says, time would fail us. There's just not the time, there's not the space to go into every detail. He says, think of Gideon, poor and weak from the tribe of Manasseh, in a day when the Midianites were like grasshoppers over the land of Israel, in a day when Baal worship had supplanted the worship of Jehovah in Israel, when apostasy and oppression had crushed the ancient people of God into the dust. He says, think of Gideon, this poor, little, insignificant nobody who didn't even have a weapon in his possession. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, fear not, thou mighty man of valor, thou shalt deliver Israel. And starting with the action of breaking down the altar of Baal and raising again the altar of Jehovah, Gideon did deliver Israel by the mighty power of faith in God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.